theory. I have some scriptures I'm going to pass out to you. If you've got a Bible, you can open to Matthew chapter 7. That's where we're going to be, Matthew chapter 7. And let me give you some scriptures. Okay, this one, you can pass that around to Maggie. And we don't have that today. Here's Korean. And here comes English. So take a scripture. And this week, I'm going to be preaching on the scripture I'm giving to you right now. Here you go, Jim. You can take multiple languages if you wish, and take your language and English too. I'm going to ask you to memorize this scripture this week. This week's easy. It's just two verses. And so, and we will be preaching on that scripture right there. Somebody pray for our time in God's Word as we open God's Word. Thank you. So some time ago, I was talking with a guy. He was from Turkey. And we somehow got to talking about Christianity. And so we're having this conversation. And in the middle of the conversation, he says to me, Mike, I don't understand. Tell me why you Christians call Jesus the Son of God. And I said, well, we call Jesus the Son of God because it's what Jesus called himself. And he was absolutely shocked. It was as if I had said something like I was from Mars, or it was so foreign to where he was coming from. It didn't register with him at all. Matthew 7, verses 28 and 29 say this. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching. For he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. This is Matthew's closing observations to the Sermon on the Mount. Last week we ended the Sermon on the Mount with Jesus' words. Now we're getting Matthew's description of what happened as a result of the Sermon on the Mount. And this is what he says. Now, you have to think for a moment. Jesus has no official position of authority within Judaism. He is a traveling rabbi. He goes around and teaches, and as far as the authorities are concerned, that's what he is. But Jesus himself is not an authority, officially. But he has been talking to the people as if he is an authority. And so, and in doing this, he's not arrogant or cocky or at all. You don't get that sense when you read Jesus. In fact, he's God. And when he talks as if he's God. And so this scripture, verses 28 and 29, say two things about Jesus here. The first thing they say is this. Jesus taught with authority. It's verse 29. The second thing is that authority astonished the crowds. That's verse 28. It's really kind of simple, right? That's the message of these verses. They were shocked at the authority that Jesus had. Now, guys, lots of people read the Sermon on the Mount. It's one of the most famous pieces of literature in the world. And people, not believers, are amazed when they read the Sermon on the Mount. I mean, just think, as we've been going through this, the things Jesus has been saying. He said things like this: "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." He said things like, "If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also." Or he said things like, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Do good to those who abuse you." He said, "Do not judge, for with the judgment that you use, you shall be judged." He has said, "Do not worry about what you will eat or what you will drink or what you will wear, for your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." This is the kind of teaching Jesus has been giving in the Sermon on the Mount. So the people, they've been listening to this and hearing all of this teaching. And people today read this, and they are astonished at the teaching. It's so counterculture, isn't it? And yet, we know it's right, don't we? Apparently, what's right isn't necessarily what the culture teaches. Those are sometimes different things. But inside, when we read it, there's something that hits our hearts, and we're amazed at the teaching. But here's the deal. Verses 28 and 29 do not say that the people were amazed at the content of Jesus' teaching. That's actually, today, when people are amazed, that's what they're amazed at. It's the content of the Sermon on the Mount. But here, that's not what the people are amazed at. This is a different kind of astonishment. These people are astonished because of authority that Jesus is claiming. That's why they're astonished. Now, let me ask you a question. Have you ever been astonished at that? See, here in the West, Western Christians generally are not very astonished when they hear Jesus talk with authority. We kind of almost take it for granted here in the West. And it's part of a Christian culture, so to speak. And I'm not saying America is a Christian culture, but there's still leftovers, remnants of Christianity in American culture. And sometimes we're not really astonished at the authority. We're astonished at the teaching, not the authority. But sometimes we Westerners need to step back and listen to what Jesus is saying from a different perspective. I remember Sharon was telling the story about, I can't think who it was, it might have been Narwa, the girl from Iraq, who... Did she see the Jesus film with the Jesus calming the storm?
No,
okay, was it the film or someone read it to her?
She saw a clip from the Jesus film and it was in Pashto.
Okay.
And it was of the Jesus speaking to the storm and calling the wind and the waves.
That's right. And Sharon said that she immediately asked, why didn't he call on Allah to calm the storm? Right? Okay, I want you to think for a moment why she would say that. She is astonished at Jesus' authority, isn't she? That's why she says that. She has the same reaction to Jesus that these people had in the Sermon on the Mount. In other words, this reaction still exists today. You get in a Muslim culture, and when Jesus exhibits the authority that he has, it's shocking. I mean, Ali, when you first heard Jesus with this authority, there was something, I bet, that astonished you about it. Same with you guys. When you first heard the authority Jesus has, it's not what you were brought up with at all. It's completely different. That's true of everyone from a Muslim background who first encounters the authority of Jesus. Now, I want you to listen for a moment to Jesus' authority. All I'm going to do is we're going to go back through the Sermon on the Mount and just listen to how he teaches. And we're not going to focus necessarily on the content of each thing. We've preached on all of that already. All I want to do is go back and let's listen to his authority, because that's what these people are amazed at. And so, in this very sermon, so here are Jesus' words. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I tell you, I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Oh my goodness. Did you hear that? Jesus is saying he is the fulfillment of the law. He is. You have heard that it was said, do not murder. But I say to you, you have heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. But I say to you, you have heard that it was said, if a man wants to divorce his wife, let him issue her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you, you have heard that it was said, keep your oath to the Lord. But I say to you, you have heard that it was said, but I say to you, you have heard that it was said, but I say to you, guys, in each of those cases, Jesus is either quoting the law directly. Do not murder is just straight out of the Ten Commandments. And so is do not commit adultery. And he's either quoting the law directly or he's quoting a rabbinic interpretation of the law in each of those instances. I want you to just think this through. Think for a moment. What if I came to you quoting Scripture and did what Jesus just did? What if I came to you and said, Hannah, you have heard that it was said you should believe in Jesus, but I say to you, or Matthew, you have heard that it was said you shall trust in the Lord your God, but I say to you, what do you think of me?
Who are you?
Yeah, who's this guy think he is? Right? I mean, okay, now just put yourself in the shoes, the sandals of these first century Jews listening to this and hearing it for the first time. They're going to have that same reaction. Who's this guy think he is? He's quoting Scripture and then he's talking as if he actually has the same authority or higher authority than the Scripture itself. More words from Jesus from the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are those who revile you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you. What are the next words?
On account of me.
On account of me, he said. You are blessed on account of Jesus. He says to those who give in order to be seen, he then says, truly I say to you, they have received their reward. And to those who pray in order to be seen, he then says, truly I say to you, they have received their reward. And to those who fast in order to be seen. He says, truly I say to you. He's pointing back to himself. He is the one issuing these statements. He then says, and we looked at this last week, it's the verses immediately preceding verses 28 and 9, what we're looking at today. He says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them shall be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the waters came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it did not fall because it was built on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them shall be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the waters came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. See, Jesus just said that you and I stand or fall on the basis of what we do with what he said. He just said that in verses 24 through 27. What if I said that to you? What if I came and said, hey, guys, everyone who hears these words of Mike's and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. But everyone who hears the words of Mike and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. See, you would have the same reaction, right, as you had earlier when I said, what if I quoted Scripture and then said, but I say. It's the same thing. Now, all of this, all I've done is read to you from the Sermon on the Mount. This is the sermon the people are listening to who are astonished. Well, you would be astonished too if you heard this for the first time. Guys, Jesus does not talk like a prophet. When the prophets talk, here's how they talk. Thus says the Lord. Right? How many? Hundreds of times in the prophets. That's how prophets talk. Thus says the Lord. Jesus does not talk that way. Jesus doesn't say, thus says the Lord. What Jesus says is, I say to you, Jesus is taking upon himself the authority of thus says the Lord. This is authority, guys. And if you really understand it, it is shocking, the authority of Christ. See, Jesus claims for himself an authority that is higher than the authority of the President of the United States. Maggie, it is this authority that scares Xi Jinping to death. He is afraid that the church in China will see something other than the government of China as the main authority. He doesn't want that. Ollie, Metan, and Miriam, this is the authority that shocked you when you first saw it. It surprised you. Jesus is claiming an authority that exceeds that of Muhammad. Much more than Muhammad. It shocked Narwa. It shocked the man from Turkey that I had the conversation with when I told him, well, Christians call Jesus the Son of God because it's what Jesus called himself. It shocked him. He never dreamed that Jesus would ever say such a thing as that. But Jesus did. That's how Jesus talks. Now, this question of authority is a really basic question. Because authority deals with every person on the planet. Because authority is something that comes into play when people make decisions. Whenever you make a decision, you are assuming authority. And we make decisions all the time. I mean, really minor things from, am I going to eat chicken or beef for lunch? We make a decision, and we assume that we have the authority to make that decision, and we do have the authority to make that decision. But what we don't understand is whatever authority we have to make whatever decisions that are obviously within our authority, the authority you and I have is a delegated authority. Our authority comes from above for whatever decisions we do make. And very often what we see is only our limited authority. We see our authority, but we miss the authority of Christ, who is over us in all things, who has the right to say, "Mike, chicken today," if he wants. I'm not saying I have a "thus says the Lord" on that, but he does have that right. And for most decisions, for most people, our top authority generally is ourselves. It really is. And that, spiritually speaking, is a problem. Because the reality is, our top authority isn't really ourselves. But we often think it is. And so we live for ourselves. Guys, really think this through now. Authority gets to tell us how to live. Authority has that right. Okay, what do you live for? I just want you to kind of think for a moment. Your life, the decisions you make, where you spend your time, where you spend your resources, your money, your whatever. What's important to you? What do you value? What do you live for? When the Holy Spirit starts poking your soul, has he ever done that to you? The Holy Spirit starts poking your soul. Do you yield or do you fight? You know, the Holy Spirit starts saying, "Hey, come on, get off your phone." Or, "Hey, I need time with you. Make some time for me." Or he says, "You see that man on the bench over there? I want you to go talk to him." Does God ever do this stuff with you? Starts poking you in the spirit. So what's the reaction that we have? Does he have the authority to do this? Or do we say, "Oh, man, that's too weird"? Or, "I'm busy. I'm too tired. I just want to relax right now." Or, you know, we got our things that we come back with to God. And our response when the Holy Spirit starts poking us in the soul, our response, what that response is, it shows us where we think our authority is. Does the Spirit have the authority to tell us what to do, or do we have the authority to tell the Spirit what we do? And the decision is made with our actions. Whatever we do tells what our authority is. So, what do you live for? What's getting an A in your classes? Are you more interested in what your culture says than you are in what Jesus says? There are people here in America, there are lots of people, they care more about what Ellen says than what Jesus says. That's an authority issue. We don't see it that way, but that is an authority issue. Do you care more about what your friends say than what Jesus, what your family might think than what Jesus says? These are all real choices, aren't they? And that's how authority is. It deals with decisions, and in decisions you make choices. I'm going to choose A or B. But whatever I choose tells me something about what I believe about authority on that issue. And honoring the authority of Jesus can be very difficult. And Jesus calls us to die to self. We may lose friends. We may lose a job. We might lose some family. That's all happened to God's people, all of those things. There's a cost to following Jesus. But you know what? There's a cost to not following Jesus too. And Jesus is very upfront about the cost of following him. He's also very upfront about the cost of not following him. I mean, if we do not follow him, here's what he said. I just quoted it earlier. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the waters came, and the winds blew and beat against that house. And it fell. And great was the fall of it. Guys, the cost of not following Jesus is your whole life is going to fall. Everything. You're going to lose everything eventually. When we stand on the authority of Christ, Jesus says, we stand. We're like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And it stood because it was built on the rock. When we reject the authority of Christ, we fall. Okay. Here's what I would like to do. We're going to close. And we're going to do something really different today. What I want to do is this. I'm going to give you 10 minutes. And I want you to get alone for 10 minutes. And what I want you to do is I want you to think about what is it that you live your life for? What are you committed to in the living of your life? And I want you to talk to God. Ask, if you're not sure, ask him. Just ask God. What do I live my life for? Ask him to show you. And I want to ask you to commit to the authority of Christ in your life. And that will look different because I told you it involves real decisions on the ground. And we all have different lives. And so those decisions look different in all of our lives. And so what I want you to do is ask him what this looks like specifically for me in my situation. If I'm going to commit to your authority, what do I need to do to change? What decisions, what choices need to follow in my life? So I want to make it practical for you where you are. Then after 10 minutes, we'll come back and I'm not going to ask you to share what you've done, but after 10 minutes, we're just going to come back. We've got some lunch, but I am going to give you a homework assignment. And the homework assignment is this. The 10-minute activity that I'm asking you to do right now, I want you to do it sometime this week, but give it more than 10 minutes. Spend some time with it. And if it turns into a multiple session thing, which, you know, God will let you know, then make it a multiple session thing. But get alone with God and talk about this question. What am I committed to? What do I need to do to commit to your authority? Okay. So you can go for a walk if you want outside. You can go in that room over there, in this room over here. You can go upstairs. You can wherever, whatever works for you, and go.